Welcome to Making the Links, the radio show with a social conscience. I'm Don Kosick.
And I'm Peter Garden. In this Making the Links special, we are bringing you a two-part program on the role and activities of a Canadian oil company abroad. We will explore what they are doing and the links back to Canada. We are calling this program Making the Links on Resource Exploitation in Latin America.
We'll be following the story contained in a recent press release in which Keith Stewart, climate change coordinator for the Toronto Environmental Alliance, stated, Canadian environmentalists are calling on the Alberta Energy Company to halt construction of their controversial pipeline in Ecuador, following the death of several protesters, including children.
The Toronto Environmental Alliance press release further states that the Alberta Energy Company is the largest shareholder in the proposed 450,000 barrel per day oil pipeline, which would double oil production in the ecologically sensitive Amazon Basin and result in new encroachments upon indigenous lands and ecological reserves, as well as more contamination of water and air in the region.
In July 2001, various groups including Greenpeace Canada, the Sierra Club of Canada, and the David Suzuki Foundation called on Alberta Energy to withdraw from the project, but the company has yet to respond to their call. Here's Peter Garden of Making the Links talking to Keith Stewart, climate change coordinator for the Toronto Environmental Alliance.
Keith, could you tell me a little bit about yourself and your organization?
Well, I work for the Toronto Environmental Alliance. We're a municipal environmental group based, of course, in Toronto. We work on a range of issues from toxics, pesticides, waste, water. I work on the smog and climate change campaign, and as part of that campaign, we actually have been working jointly with a group in Ecuador called Acción Ecológica. They're the Ecuadorian branch of Friends of the Earth. We focus on trying to reduce petroleum consumption in the north, while they focus on preventing new petroleum production and extraction in the Amazon region of Ecuador.
Okay. I understand that the attention of your organization has been focused on the construction of a pipeline in Ecuador. Could you give our listeners a little bit of background on what's going on in this situation?
Sure. It's sort of a geological fluke that there's a great deal of oil in the Amazon. And Ecuador, what Ecuador's been doing for the last 30 years is drilling in the Amazonian region on indigenous lands and then piping it up over top of the Andes Mountains, over one of the most earthquake-prone zones of the world, down the other side to the coast where they have a refinery and where they ship it primarily to the west coast of Canada and the U.S. So it's been the major export of Ecuador for a long time. What the government is looking at doing right now is building a second pipeline and so that they can get more oil out more quickly. And what this is going to mean is a whole bunch of new petroleum, basically the petroleum frontier is going to expand into the ecological reserves which are there, which are of global environmental importance. They're some of the highest levels of biodiversity in the world. And onto the indigenous lands of the Achuar, the Shuar, the Warani, the Quechua, and the Achuar people. So, we're very concerned because once they build this pipeline, which is going to cause almost all sorts of environmental damage building it, you're inevitably going to be seeing new encroachments into the rainforest and destruction of the cultures which depend upon that rainforest to continue.
I understand that there's quite a bit of opposition to the construction of this pipeline. Can you tell me who are the main groups that are involved in opposing it and how large the opposition is?
Well, in Ecuador, a lot of the opposition is coming from a group called CONAI, which is the Confederation of Indigenous Organizations of Ecuador, the National Federation, and CONFENAI, which is the regional federation in the Amazon Basin. There's also environmental groups like Acción Ecológica and a large number of unions and social justice organizations in Ecuador who are opposing this, because basically this whole project is geared towards, making a few people in Ecuador very rich and providing cheap oil for the north while supposedly to pay down the Ecuadorian debt, but really, the debt there's a huge ecological debt involved, but also the debt is largely has been paid for a long time. It's the interest rates and the northern banks which are profiting off this right now. Outside of the country, there's strong links with North American and European groups, groups like Greenpeace, but also the Rainforest Action Network and Amazon Watch, which have brought together a whole collection of groups concerned with indigenous rights and environmental issues to oppose this particular development.
Okay. What are some of the tactics that people have used to oppose the construction of this pipeline so far?
Well, first of all, this pipeline has been sort of in the works for 20 years, and it's been successfully fought for that long, but the International Monetary Fund a few years ago basically said, thou shalt build a pipeline and export more oil, and so the government's setting about doing that. Now, there's been a variety of tactics used to try and work against this. One is at the national level doing general public education. There's also been legal cases launched against the approvals for the pipeline. The project we've been working on with Acción Ecológica has been doing a lot of regional networking and organizing and community workshops on the impacts of oil and what it has meant to communities which have already been impacted and what it could mean to communities who are, you know, in negotiations or who are looking at having an oil company come into their area to start prospecting for oil. The most recent events, however, involved a major uprising in the northeast of Ecuador where the oil is situated, where 60 oil well sites were occupied along with five sort of small refineries, and the construction of the oil pipeline was completely shut down for about 10 days, all the operations were shut down for about 10 days. And the government basically sent in the military to evict those people, and it resulted in, reports were unclear, but the International Red Cross says 3 people dead, and the reports I've heard say, you know, about 300 people injured and about 40 people arrested. The government today declared a state of emergency, sent in the troops, there was, you know, pitched battles, and right now, tensions are still very high, but at least there's no shooting. You actually also, on the other side of the Andes, in a cloud forest in a place called Mindo, which is incredibly high. It's beloved by bird watchers around the world because the Audubon Society in one day managed to spot 350 different species of birds. It's like bird heaven. There's actually a group of people local people who are living in some of the trees along the pipeline route trying to block construction because, I mean, their economy depends upon subsistence agriculture, but also their whole new industry in ecotourism because of the birds. And if they put the pipeline through this sort of very delicate cloud forest, all that's going to be lost forever.
This occupation of the well sites, is this the first situation of this kind?
There's been sort of sporadic community conflicts with oil companies where they've occupied local areas or barricaded roads. But this is, in Ecuador, the Indigenous Federation in Ecuador is actually quite powerful and has frequently shuts down the country by closing all the roads to force the government to negotiate with them over their rights and over social programs. But this is sort of the first time this has happened that I know of around oil extraction activities in particular. Because basically the people in the area, they have to deal with the pollution that comes from it, and it is enormously polluting. I'll get into that later if you'd like. But they don't get any of the benefits. You've got, you know, $60 billion worth of oil, which has been extracted from this area in the last 30 years, and 90% of the population lives in poverty. So, and it's incredibly contaminated. So they're basically saying, you know, we don't want this to go on for another 30 years and, you know, more areas of the Amazon.
What is the role of the Alberta Energy Company in the construction of the pipeline?
Alberta Energy, well, actually, they bought up a company called PacAlta a few years ago and have since become actually the largest foreign oil company in Ecuador. They're also the largest single investor in this pipeline. The pipeline is being built by consortium. It's going to cost $1.1 billion U.S., so that's almost, you know, close to $2 billion Canadian. And Alberta Energy owns over 30% of that. So they're investing, you know, about $450 million in building this pipeline, and they already own a lot of the oil sites, particularly sites which are right along the Cuyabeno Ecological Reserve and near Yasuni National Park in the Amazon Basin. So they're actually a major international player in Ecuador. And when I was actually down in Ecuador a few years ago and at some of these sites and looking at the contamination, you know, you tell people you're Canadian, and most of the world, you know, Canadians are viewed with you know, affection. But like there, I had one old guy spit at me because he thought I was from the company. And they feel the company's been contaminating the lands and hasn't been cleaning them up and has been generally sort of extracting wealth from the region without putting any of it back and destroying ecosystems. So, you know, they're not... Alberta Energy claims that they're cleaning things up from their predecessors, and they are working with communities, etc. But certainly, I think the recent occupation and anger against oil companies would indicate that not everyone in the region agrees with them.
And here is a song for Ecuador by Inti Illimani.
Now back to our interview with Keith Stewart of the Toronto Environmental Alliance.
What's the relationship of the Alberta Energy Company with the government of Ecuador?
I asked them that question and they wouldn't tell me. Well, they wouldn't tell me anything specific. Foreign oil companies are basically the major source of revenue for the Ecuadorian government, and the Ecuadorian government does what it needs to make sure that those profits, that their profits keep flowing so that the revenues to the government keep flowing. So you'll see, for instance, you know, the Ecuadorian military being sent in to clear the route for the pipeline, to clear out people from oil pipeline sites. and a great deal of intimidation. The president of Ecuador has said that he will declare war against anyone who tries to stop the pipeline, and has actually even threatened some environmentalists by name as sort of enemies of the state for voicing concerns over the environmental and social impacts of the pipeline and oil extraction in Ecuador. So, you know, it's very much pro oil company because they want to get as much oil out as quickly as possible so they can get as much revenue as possible.
Is there any concrete evidence that the Alberta Energy Company is connected with the current repression that's happening, like the one that you cited in your press release that you sent out the other day?
Yeah, well, I would say that those actions were taken on behalf of the oil companies. Whether or not they were at their behest, whether they specifically asked for them, you know, I have no evidence of that, but that's because if it was done, it would be done secretly. When I phoned Alberta Energy and asked them what their position was, they said I should talk to the OCP, which is the consortium, and that it's the consortium that's been dealing with all this. But Alberta, as the largest shareholder in the consortium, presumably is very much involved in decision-making, but I couldn't get any specific statement out of them. Personally, I think that if they are going to make these investments, if they're going to make profit off of this, then they have a moral obligation to make sure that it is not harmful. And frankly, I don't see how you can expand the oil frontier into pristine rainforest and into the lands of indigenous peoples in a way which is not going to be harmful. Given, you know, current concerns over climate change, we can't even afford environmentally and socially to burn all the oil we already have in known reserves. We certainly don't need to be digging up the Amazon and shipping it out over top of the Andes and having the pipeline break on a regular basis because of earthquakes to make that problem worse.
I understand that the Toronto Environmental Alliance in coalition with the Suzuki Foundation and Greenpeace and the Sierra Club requested that the Alberta Energy Company withdraw from the pipeline project. What's the response been to that?
The pipeline was approved or got sort of conditional improvement in June of last year. And so in early July, we wrote to Alberta Energy, the four organizations, and called upon them to withdraw from participation in the process in that pipeline. And similarly, there's groups internationally who have been working to target the banks who are financing it to say, you know, don't do this. We got no reply to our letter. You know, I phoned to see if they got it, and I know they got it. They didn't reply to reporters' requests for information. I know I was talking to one reporter who phoned them up, and they would just never return his call when he was asking about it. Because they've basically been trying to keep this under the radar. I hope no one notices what they're doing. Alberta Energy right now is in the middle of a major merger to become Encana, the largest independent oil company in Canada. And they certainly don't want any bad press because of what they're doing down there. But, you know, I think Canadians should know what Canadian companies are doing abroad and the kind of impacts it's having on people in other parts of the world.
Have you been contacted by the Alberta Energy Company since you issued the press release on March 8th?
I phoned them before I sent it out, actually, to see if I could get their point of view. And one of their media relations people phoned me back and basically didn't tell me anything. It was sort of just talk to everyone in Ecuador, just talk to folks in Ecuador. And they haven't responded since the press release. I know reporters phoned them and they actually answered them this time because sort of it was a much more pressing issue. But their position basically is the protests were against the government, not against them, but it was the government acting on their behalf to ensure, to basically safeguard their investment and their continued profits. So I do think that they should be, you know, coming clear as to where they stand on, you know, should people be killed to protect oil company profits? Is this a reasonable activity for any socially responsible company, for any socially responsible company to undertake? And, you know, will they, we've asked them over time, you know, will they withdraw? And to date, you know, they've said, we're going to continue with this investment and we're going to continue with this project.
So if I'm a listener who's listening to the show and I'm wanting to do something about the situation, what can I do?
Well, right now, you can do two things. First is write to the Alberta Energy Company. Quinn Morgan's their president and CEO. And if you want, I could give you the address. It's number 3900, 421-7, 7th Avenue Southwest, Calgary, in Alberta. T2P4K9, and sort of tell him that you think Alberta Energy should get out. The other thing is, if you know anyone who happens to have shares in ethical funds, which is a mutual fund which is supposed to use an ethical screen to determine who they will invest in, contact their client relations people. It's on the website at ethicalfunds.com, and ask them to disinvest in Alberta Energy, because Alberta Energy is actually the fifth largest holding of the Ethical Growth Fund. They own millions of dollars worth of stock in this company, which is, you know, engaged in rainforest destruction and the destruction of indigenous lands and cultures in South America. So they definitely should get the boot from ethical funds. And we're also going to be looking for sort of other ways to influence the company. They don't, you can't sort of, you know, decide not to buy Alberta Energy oil because you don't know. They don't actually sell under any particular brand name. So it's hard to do a consumer boycott, but definitely we can bring pressure to bear upon, you know, writing to their CEO, telling your friends, and trying to get them booted from the ethical funds investment.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, for people who are concerned about this and who want to follow up, we're going to be posting some stuff on our website, which is torontoenvironment.org. But I'd also really encourage people to go to www.amazonwatch.org, because they've been, you know, they have lots of good material there, and they've been following this for a while. And I actually have been sort of using a lot of their stuff and also talking with people in Ecuador. But, you know, if you want to follow up on this and look for other opportunities for taking action, you know, amazonwatch.org or torontoenvironment.org, and hopefully we can stop this, because if the pipeline gets built, they're definitely going to go find the oil to put in it.
The Alberta Energy Company is the largest stakeholder in OCP, the company that is building the oil pipeline in the provinces of Sucumbíos and Orellana in Ecuador. Given their role as the primary investor in OCP, we feel that there are key questions that Alberta Energy needs to answer.
Why is this project going ahead after 10 years of heavy opposition from a broad range of groups, both inside and outside of Ecuador?
People in the areas surrounding where the pipeline is being built staged a general strike in late February and early March of this year, calling for a halt to the construction of the pipeline or fair compensation for the resources that are being extracted from their land. What is the position of the Alberta Energy Company on these demands?
Why is it that the people of Ecuador remain impoverished while North American oil companies extract millions of dollars of oil from their land?
Since 1998, there have reportedly been 14 major oil spills in Ecuador, the most recent in May of 2001, where 7,000 barrels of oil spilled after a landslide ruptured the existing oil pipeline. How does the Alberta Energy Company propose to prevent more oil spills like this one with the construction of a new pipeline in a region that is heavily prone to earthquakes and extreme weather?
Why does the pipeline route go through the Mindo Navio Cloud Forest Reserve and other ecologically sensitive areas?
Is it true that the license granted to OCP to construct this pipeline has been suspended by the government of Ecuador because of damages to the pipeline near the Mindo Navio Forest Reserve? What were the damages, and why was the license suspended?
Amazon Watch has claimed that the OCP pipeline project does not meet minimum World Bank environmental impact and natural habitat protection standards. The World Bank itself has sent letters to the project's major financiers calling for greater environmental protections. Why is this project going ahead when these minimum standards are not being met?
This newly constructed pipeline will need to be filled with oil, creating an estimated doubling in Ecuador's current oil production. This will almost certainly result in the incursion into indigenous lands and ecologically sensitive areas for oil exploration and extraction. Can the Alberta Energy Company justify facilitating the kind of destruction that is likely to occur in addition to the damage caused by the construction of this pipeline?
On March 8th, the Toronto Environmental Alliance issued a press release claiming that three people had been killed in clashes with the police over the construction of this pipeline. What is the response of the Alberta Energy Company to these allegations?
There were also reports of an occupation in August of 2001 at the offices of OCP in Quito, the capital of Ecuador, in which protesters were allegedly assaulted and the media present had their cameras damaged and confiscated by the security guards at the office. Were these employees instructed to take this action by Alberta Energy and their affiliates, or was this employees acting of their own accord? If they were acting of their own accord, were they disciplined?
How does Alberta Energy Company feel about working in a country whose government says that it will declare war on anyone standing in the way of this pipeline project? And is it justifiable to use military force to protect the interests of Alberta Energy in Ecuador?
And finally, how much money has Alberta Energy Company received from Export Development Canada? Does AEC or any of its affiliates receive any other Canadian government money for projects in Ecuador? And if so, which projects have those funds gone towards?
We will be asking Alberta Energy Company to answer these questions in a further program. We have just received an urgent alert that there is more trouble from the Canadian-backed pipeline under construction in Ecuador, and that Ecuadorian police have arrested environmentalists blocking the oil pipeline.
Quito, March 26, 2002. Ecuadorian police have arrested environmentalists from Greenpeace and the Ecuadorian group Ecological Action, who had chained themselves to trees in a protected forest to stop the construction of a controversial pipeline.
The environmentalists have been camping out in the treetops of the Mindo-Navajo Protected Forest, 50 kilometers northwest of Quito, for more than 2 months. 17 activists, both Ecuadorian and foreign nationals, were on the site on Monday when the Ecuadorian police surrounded them.
We demand the freedom of all prisoners whose only crime is to defend the natural heritage of Ecuador and all humanity. We hold the government's Ministry of the Interior responsible for their safety, said Natalia Arias, the president of Ecological Action.
Arias said that the activists remained chained to the trees until they were removed by force. She stated that the protest against the pipeline, OCP, will continue.
Our goal is to prevent the construction of the pipeline, said Arias. We won't leave the zone until the pipeline consortium led by the Canadian firm Alberta Energy and the government stop work on the pipeline project.
The pipeline is slated to go through the Mindo-Navajo Cloud Forest, a unique ecosystem which provides habitat for species at risk of extinction, according to Arias.
The Toronto Environmental Alliance is asking to keep the pressure on Alberta Energy. Please write to Gwyn Morgan, President and CEO, and ask him to withdraw from the OCP pipeline in Ecuador. He can be reached at Alberta Energy Company Limited, number 3900, 421 7th Avenue Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2P4K9. Fax 403-266-8100. Or you can email their public affairs contact at dickwilson@aec.ca.
The Toronto Environmental Alliance can be contacted at www.torontoenvironment.org. That's www.torontoenvironment.org for more information about what is happening in Ecuador. Research, production, and editing for this edition of Making the Links by Peter Garden and Don Kosick. You can contact Making the Links at www.makingthelinksradio.com.